Hey, welcome into Big Jim's Garage. I'm Big Jim O'Brien, host of the morning show here in Detroit, Michigan on 94.7 WCSX. I also host the Garage page at WCSX.com. Coming up this week in our podcast, we'll talk with Lee Diffie from NBC Sports. We'll talk a little racing here. In case you missed the news, NBC will own all the rights to IndyCar here in the U.S. next year. So we'll talk about Indy. We'll talk about the health of the sport. And it's a big deal. I mean, ABC obviously had the Indy 500 since, what, the 60s? I mean, so for NBC to take over this, more network exposure, what it means for the sport as a whole. Lee Diffie will join us just a couple minutes here. But before we get to Lee, I want to do a quick vehicle review here. Spent a week driving the 2018 Outlander from Mitsubishi. The Sport 2.4 liter, the SEL, the AWC, the all-wheel drive. Now, here's what's interesting, what's going on right now with CUVs. The compact utility vehicles. Recently, I was at another manufacturer's press presentation, and they said within 2 years, they expect to have 86% of their portfolio is either going to be trucks or SUVs. Think about that. Think about where we've come as a car country. Small cars were the rage for gas mileage and everything. I mean, I had one 10, 15 years ago. We all went nuts for them. And now you're looking at the downfall of sedans as a whole, and you know, people just aren't buying them anymore. So what happens? You find the CUV market. And here's my analogy when it comes to CUVs. And I'll talk about the Mitsubishi in a second, but I want to explain this. I think when you first go to a restaurant, you may give it a second chance because it's new and maybe they don't have the wait staff trained up the way you want. So you wind up going in there and yeah, you give them a second chance. I think it was the same way with CUVs when they first came out. They were so new and the idea of a little mini SUV that you go ripping around. And we were so excited that we overlooked a lot of stuff when they first came out. And in my opinion, the manufacturers got away with just doing mini versions of the same SUV, if that makes any sense. I think when the Equinox first came out, it looked just like a mini version of a Traverse on the Chevrolet side, which wasn't a bad thing, but it didn't really excite me when I saw it. And especially now, because the market's so competitive, you got to bring your A game. And Mitsubishi, I'll give them credit. The Outlander Sport, you're going to wind up sticker loaded. Sticker loaded is $29,000. So you know you can get lower than that. You can definitely get under that. What are you getting for this? The key to the Mitsubishi is the styling. That's one of the things I like. It stands out. I don't want a CUV to look like just a smaller version of an SUV. I want it to be a little unique. And it definitely does that. The front fascia on it is beautiful, the way they've got it done. Plus, you got that huge, it's not really a moonroof. It's that whole, you know, the glass top, the whole top of the car. I would compare it to like a Range Rover Evoque. If you look at those, Mitsubishi did that. It's nice. It is a bit noisy. I'll give you this. When you're driving it at freeway speeds, you will notice that if you leave that thing open, you're definitely getting a little bit there. Now, when you look at the outside of the vehicle, it's definitely got this just, it's got a very cool quality to it, which I like. Again, it stands out. When you get inside some of the material, I know some people have been bagging on it, but I'm thinking to myself, you're getting a loaded vehicle for under 30 grand. I'm not sure what you're expecting when you get inside this. I like the seats. I thought they did a really nice job. I got a friend of mine who is in the material business. It's what he does, provide for OEMs, and he liked the material, the way it was trimmed out. You'll notice right away the sound system, too. Rockford Fosgate sound system that bangs. You have got that in there. So far, so good, right? The 2.4 liter underneath the hood, I think when you get all-wheel drive, you've already got a heavy vehicle. So this 2.4 liter should give you another 20 horsepower than over the 2 liter they had last year, which it does, but you don't really notice it. Acceleration, it's not really there. I think you're overcoming the weight of the vehicle. And then you wind up dealing with the all-wheel drive, which adds the extra weight. So the car, it's not slow. It just takes a while to get going. It's not like you're going to freak out on the freeway and feel like you're going to get run over, because that's not the case at all. However, the acceleration is wanting. And then the gas mileage, too. I think this is more of a function of weight and just size. If you're going to build a small car, you can't put a big gas tank on it. There's just no room. So you wind up getting 25, 26, maybe 27 combined, which should be more. But again, that's a function of weight. And then your range is limited to 300, 350 miles because you don't have a huge gas tank on it, which has always been a frustration. But I think when we were driving small cars, it was the same issue, right? So the Mitsubishi Outlander Sport 2.4 liter SEL, it is a great looking car. It's a great looking CUV. You will absolutely enjoy the hell out of it. However, you're going to find some flaws. You're going to find that in this crowded CUV market, it's a bit noisy on the inside. Some of the trim materials inside, the styling points inside could be a little bit better. I don't have a problem with that. You got your Android Auto, your Apple CarPlay. You got a great HD stereo in there from Rockford Fosgate. The look, the style on it is good. I like the steering, actually. Even for a heavier vehicle, it doesn't feel like it knuckles under. A lot of CUVs, when you're driving, you feel like all of a sudden you're just snapping the wheel. It doesn't do that. I would recommend, if you're going to do an all-wheel drive car and you're going to sell it to people because we're going to drive it in cold weather, I would like to, if I have heated seats, I'd like a heated steering wheel. Again, a minor thing. The weight of the vehicle, the gas mileage should be better. The small gas tank, I don't know how you get around that one. But overall, I'm going to give it a B. I like it. I like the look. I like the styling. I like the fact that, like that restaurant that I was talking about at the beginning of this, it stands out. That if I buy a Mitsubishi Outlander Sport, I know what I'm getting. And it's kind of a cool-looking car. It's actually a very look at it. I mean, it's a very cool-looking CUV. All right, we move from talking about cars to talking about a guy with race cars. Lee Diffie, NBC Sports. I'm just trying to figure this out. Are you going to say bring the action at Indy next year?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I have thought about that, but TBD.
Lee Diffie's joining us from NBC Sports and NBC Racing now and NBC Indy after NBC secures the rights to IndyCar, the whole arc for next year. This is a fantastic move for the sport, Lee, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, it really is, because it just makes it simple for everybody involved. There's just one place to go to see IndyCar. IndyCar has one broadcast partner. The drivers know that because the drivers are very... as you know, Jim, they're very business-minded. They assist the team owners and commercial directors in, getting sponsorship, and they know what they can bank on. And the really exciting element to this whole announcement and the whole deal and the future is the increase in network exposure. So, the existing deal that's now in its final year does not allow NBC to air the races on NBC, the big NBC network. It's right. On our sports network, NBCSN. Whereas next year and going forward, there's going to be currently ABC show 5 races on network, where NBC next year going forward is going to show 8. So that's huge.
It is. And if we talk about the arc of the sport, I mean, you think about the way it's setting up, Lee, that we have the new platform this year, the new vehicles, and St. Pete. They, not only were they beautiful, but it was really interesting driving, because even some of the best drivers in the world, you could tell they were wrestling a bull a couple times in that first turn at St. Pete.
Yeah, they were. I mean, there's the variables this season, I think, are one of the most attractive things about 2018, because we weren't there, myself, Townsend Bell, Paul Tracy, we weren't there. It wasn't one of our races. It was an ABC race.
So, right.
But Jan Beekers was covering pit road, as he does for both networks. And Jan said to us on a conference call recently, there is a wonderful air of almost reinvigoration. There's new names. There's new people in the paddock. There are the new cars. There's variables. There's people don't quite know what to expect. And there's just this energy that's in the paddock again. I mean, I don't want to say people are excited about IndyCar again, because that's unfair to the series and to the sport, but there is definitely an elevated air of excitement. And that's huge. That's great to go into a new season and a new deal.
I agree. We had Sebastian Bourdais on after the race the next day, and we were talking about it. And here's a guy who wins the race, and we were still laughing, because he said there were a couple things in the car that they hadn't figured out during the race. They were figuring things out about the car as they're going.
Yeah.
That's fun to me. I love the style of racing. Now, obviously here in Detroit, we look at the Detroit Grand Prix and the duel and stuff, but open wheel racing and oval racing, and the fact that you guys are going to have Indy on NBC next year is such a huge thing. Do you like the looks of the new cars, Lee, as much as I do?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yep, that was going in a direction, when they had the aero kits, the Chevrolet aero kits, and then the Honda aero kits. It was just going in an odd direction that I didn't think was necessary. It was very expensive to the teams, and the philosophy behind that was that the fans would be able to distinguish a Chevrolet from a Honda very easily, and that's who they would cheer for. Well, not really. It wasn't that way. And then it started to look really heavy and clunky. And
yeah.
These the 2018 spec cars look sleek and you know, somewhat sexy and racy. And I think that's a really good thing.
It was interesting. I wonder if somebody from NASCAR should have sent them just a photo of the car of tomorrow and said, don't do this. Right? I mean, well, think about what happened with the COT. That was a big hit for NASCAR. Not a knock, but well, I guess it is. When that car came out, we all went, why are we driving IROC cars? I mean, I felt the same way for a while about the Indy package.
And look, you know, for, you know, it doesn't matter what series you're talking about, the technical directors and the engineers and the architects of, you know, what the series is going to look like in the future, you know, if they knew something wasn't going to work, they wouldn't do it, right? So it's all part of the learning experience. And Indy went through that with those manufacturer-centric aero kits. And now we've got away from that and back to something that, you know, people say, wow. And I tell you something that's really basic, Jim, that I love, is do you remember back in the days of Target when Target and Target's ad agencies would activate their sponsorship with Chip Ganassi Racing very well in mainstream media, and they would have ads with either Jimmy Vassar and Alex Zanardi or Jimmy Vassar and Juan Pablo Montoya, and they were funny commercials. And now, here we are in 2018, we've got James Hinchcliffe with Honda, and Honda's agencies are activating really well. And you got James Hinchcliffe in the middle of whatever, you know, mainstream television across all networks, and he's talking about whatever the latest Hondas are, the Honda Civics or whatever, and then he says, and here's my Indy car. And I just think that's really cool because
I agree.
How many people in the mainstream public actually know what an Indy car looks like? You know, they might know a lot about golf or a lot about football or a lot about hockey, but how often do they actually see an Indy car? And to have that in a big advertising commercial, I think is great. It to me, that's a reflection of where IndyCar is going again. I think there's a lot of momentum.
Well, you look at Newgarden. I mean, you think about Joseph Newgarden, what he's done. I mean, we knew how good he was 2 years ago. We saw it. It was in Iowa. I mean, when he basically lapped the entire field. And then last year with Penske, you saw this rise of this guy. And now you watch him. Every time I see Joseph Newgarden, in person or on camera, he is so personable that you can't help but like the guy.
Exactly. And what a champion for IndyCar to have.
Right.
What a marketable commodity. You know, he's the homegrown all-American boy. And Joseph is, he's young. He can capitalize on this. But he also is smart enough to just be a really good tool for IndyCar to use to say, you know, look at us. You know, great champions, good people, great personalities. Terrific cars racing at over 200 miles an hour, and you know there's so many wonderful elements to it at the moment. You know, with any sport, and I've been fortunate to cover a lot of sports and still do, there's always somewhere along the line there's some detractors. You know, they want to criticize one element of the sport or another, and I just don't hear that right now about IndyCar. Mm-mm. Which is, you know, a double thumbs up. It's fantastic.
It was good too, like you've seen some of the young drivers. The guy that the name eludes me now, the gentleman who was on the pole at St. Pete, the reason I mentioned it, here's a guy they went out and found from one of the German racing series. It wasn't like he's some 19-year-old kid. They knew who he was, and they had a great mindset that they were going to go out and bring this guy in because of the new cars and the way they drive a little bit looser. You know, I think it's neat that we're seeing drivers from other disciplines as well getting into IndyCar. It makes it more digestible for people overseas as well.
Oh, for sure. And the guy you're talking about is a Canadian called Robert Wickens.
That's it. Thank you very much.
He has an unbelievable racing pedigree. And for him to be, you know, a Mercedes factory driver in DTM and then come, which is the German Touring Car Championship, you know, enormous budgets, you know, spaceship-like cars, incredibly sophisticated and technology-driven. And for him to come to IndyCar. And then, you know, to your point right at the beginning of our discussion, for him to go out and you know, if people had watched DTM or maybe they'd raced him in the earlier series, you know, on their way to the top, they know who Robert is. But phenomenally talented. And then for him to go out and get the pole and just wipe the floor with the field until he was taken out by Alexander Rossi, you know, that was fantastic. And to see the jumbled up nature of that field, Graham Rahal starting last, finishes second, you know, Sebastian Bourdais winning back-to-back years. I mean, there's just you can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong with the storylines. They're out there everywhere.
And it's a great, it's going to be fantastic with NBC as well. I mean, like you said, getting more, many more races started next year on the network, on the app, everything that NBC is doing across the board. You can tell too, and I've read stories, you know, that, that Penske and everybody else, you know, you have big team owners as well who have that kind of influence that when they get excited about something, it's great for the sport. And we see here in Detroit, Lee, obviously what Roger's done for the Detroit Grand Prix out on Belle Isle, but you know, across the world. Is there any other than F1, is there anything that Roger Penske's not in?
Oh, he's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. And yeah, I mean, to still have him in the sport to the element that he is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously back in the day, Roger was involved in Formula One, but you're right. I mean, he's involved in supercars in Australia, you know, NASCAR here, IndyCar here. And the way he teamed up, he ended up investing in a team in Australia called Dick Johnson Racing. Dick Johnson's a legend. You know, he's a Richard Petty style character of Australian motor racing. And he, you know, Dick went down there and, Roger went down there and invested in Dick's team and just turned it around. You know, Penskeized it. And that's no disrespect to Dick Johnson Racing. You know, they welcomed it. And Roger just waved his magic wand like he does with just, you know, absolute dedication and professionalism. And, you know, now they're at the top of the – they narrowly missed out on winning the championship last year, but amazing to see him just reproduce it again and again and again.
I think one of the most interesting things about Roger Penske, and I hope this happens for more owners and more drivers in the sport, any sport, when you drive for Penske, you don't worry about sponsorships. You don't worry – that stuff is taken care of. There's a certain way. And you see it across the board. Look at Ryan Blaney. I mean, Blaney comes over to Penske – gets the haircut, and everyone's like, oh, he's corporate. I'm like, no, he's relaxed. He's confident. And you see that with a guy like Newgarden. You're not worried about tearing up the car because you're not going to have any more. The equipment side and the sponsorship side is taken care of. You focus on being a driver. And Penske seems to do that across the board in whatever he touches.
Well, it's a good – there's a there's a positive, and there's maybe a not so positive. The positive is, you know, the which is certainly not a new saying, Roger has drilled into his drivers over the years, and not just drivers, mechanics, engineers, all the stuff. When you work for me, it's up to me and my commercial staff to ensure that we have enough funding to go racing. And the way we go racing is the proper way, like you're alluding to. But with that, that's the huge positive. But with that, then comes the added pressure of, if I don't deliver, I can't have any excuses.
Right.
So it's you know, when you – that's why people, when they drive for Penske, they want to stay there forever. Like Elio Castro Neves, you know, just did 20 years in open wheel racing, and the majority of them with Roger. And now he's racing with him in sports cars. And when Elio, when that day, who Elio seems ageless, when that day comes when he finally stops driving, he will more than likely stay with the Penske organization in a Rick Mears type role as an ambassador and a leader and driver mentor. And, you know, it's just an amazing organization.
You've called F1, you've called NASCAR, you've done the Olympics, but Lee, have you been, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for you sitting in the booth for Indy, calling it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've thought about for a long, long time, and something I thought that I may never get the opportunity to do. It's very, very exciting. And I think, just having been fortunate enough to do big events, you know, with NBC, the way that NBC Sports and the whole NBC Sports group does big events, you know, like Kentucky Derby, the Olympics, Super Bowl,
right,
Sunday Night Football, you know, the Stanley Cup, just everything like that. Just the way that the organization handles big events, I think everybody knows it's going to be elevated to an amazing level, and it's super exciting. There's, you know, we're headquartered in Stamford, Connecticut, about an hour north of New York City, and the people, the talent, the depth of talent, and I'm not talking about on air or announcers, I'm talking about the production people, the amount of unbelievably skilled people that we have that they will throw into this. You know, the people that you see producing those amazing clips on the Olympics and highlights reels, etc. It's those kind of people that will put their creative minds and hands onto the Indianapolis 500, and that's what really gets me excited. It's going to look amazing.
It's going to be fantastic, man. And Lee, I'm so happy for you. You've always been gracious with your time to talk, as you know, last year with you and Steve and everyone talking F1, and as we go forward with, you know, with anything motorsports and with IndyCar in particular. I mean, just as a little side note, when I was 5 years old, Bobby Unser brought the Olsen Knight Eagle into my dad's gas station in Orange County, California.
Oh, wow.
So I got to sit in the car.
Wow.
And from that point, that's the first car I understood. So the only race that I would watch as a kid, I remember being 5 years old, sitting in front of the TV, watching the Indy 500, rooting for Bobby Unser. And the Olsen Knight Eagle and Dan Gurney and All-American Racing. I mean, it is. It's open wheel racing here. It's just pure. When it's right, like it is now, it is the purest form of motorsports here in the U.S. because these men just get after it. These men and women just drive their ass off, and it's so much fun to watch.
And the best point for us where we sit, myself and Townsend Bell and Paul Tracy and our pit announcers, for us when we go on the air or go into a weekend, like, so our first race of the year is coming up in a couple of weeks in Phoenix. We have three races in a row. We have Phoenix, Long Beach, and then Barber in Alabama. And the most exciting thing for us is, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, Steve and Hobbo and myself and Will, we're not calling Formula One this year because the rights went another direction.
Right.
But, and I'm going to miss Formula One dearly. But with that in mind, on any given weekend, you could get, you know, a few dollars out of your pocket if you wanted to and put it in a hat and, you know, have a little book on who was going to win the race. And you could, you know, your money was going to be somewhere safe between Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, and then where do you go from there? Valtteri Bottas.
Maybe Max. Maybe Max if he doesn't wreck.
Yeah. Right, so your money's pretty safe. With IndyCar, I don't want to say it's anybody's guess, but it is beautifully unpredictable because it's so competitive. And, you know, year after year after year, I can't remember from the top of my head the variety of winners last year, but we've had 10 and 11. 11 is the all-time IndyCar record for different winners in a season, and we've had that. A couple of years ago, and constantly getting towards double figures, you know, from 16 or 17 races, you have 10 different winners. Come on. I mean, it's awesome. Just awesome.
It's the best. It is so much fun to watch. It's a great time here in the U.S., man, for motorsports across the board. Lee Diffie, I appreciate the time this morning. We all do. We'll stay in touch. We'll follow you on Twitter at Lee Diffie, and we'll talk soon. All right.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks so much for the time, and big hello to all your listeners, and, looking forward, you know, we've still got a year to go here before we have it exclusively, but great times ahead. I said yesterday I interviewed Mark Miles, the CEO of Holman & Co., and James Hinchcliffe here in New York City, and I finished the interview by saying everyone loves good news, and yesterday was a good news day.
It is. It's fantastic for the sport. All right, Lee, we will talk soon. And by the way, can I just, one little side note. You mentioned the run of NBC race you have this year. One of the most underrated races in the IndyCar series is the one in Alabama. That track... And with these cars, I cannot wait to see how they're going to set up on that road course. Good God.
Yeah, bring it.
It's going to be fun, man. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you, Jim.